Good morning, it is morning, and this is On the Air with Glenn Coble, and today we have a special guest. We've kind of done it as a continuation of his former life when he used to do this with Charlie. James Anderson, he's our Marion County naturalist. And we're going to talk with him about all sorts of things. Let me see if I can find his microphone. Are you there, James? Oh, I got the wrong one. Okay, try it again. Well, one of these has to work. Okay, I think I can hear you now. Maybe not. Hello. I think I found it. All right, can you talk for me, James? Well, that's not it either. I wonder what I've done wrong here. All right. Take that other microphone. All right, well, we're on the air whether we like it or not. I've, for some reason or other... hang on there. James will figure it out here. And I've got our music down. I've got me up. We just have to find you. All right. I'm going to put them all up, and one of them's got to work. Well, that's me. All right. Why am I on the phone? Okay. James Anderson is our naturalist with Marion County. And I'm hoping that you're going to be working here. If not, I may have to call the boss and ask him why the pot isn't working. This past week we had a fly over my house that scared the living whatever out of my dog and me because it was so low, and they were eradicating some sort of pest. What were we doing? Okay, keep going. There we go.
All right, so yeah, so the Ohio Department of Agriculture, they were trying to control the gypsy moth. The gypsy moth has been in Ohio for quite some time, been in the United States for a very, very long time. And if people aren't familiar, they are an invasive species, and what it is the caterpillar stage. They eat and eat and eat, and next thing you know it, they can destroy a local forest.
Wow.
And I mean, they eat all of our native trees. From
are they the little white animal
for the caterpillar stage? Yeah, it's kind of white grayish, but then when they turn into adults, they're more of that dark gray.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so that they're a really bad problem. There's not a lot of predators out there, and of course you can have a female that could lay, you know, hundreds and hundreds of eggs.
Yikes.
And so you know, next thing you know, you got a nice forest that could be wiped out.
Do they mainly eat tree leaves and things like that, or do they eat like vegetation on the ground?
To my knowledge, I think they just eat mainly tree and shrub species, but then that affects all the other caterpillar species, which then affects all the other wildlife. So, you know, it does affect the food chain.
Yeah.
So what they were doing this week, and I don't know the true science, but...
They were dive bombing my house.
They were pretty low, but the Ohio Department of Agriculture, they basically made an organic compound that is genetically modified to just attack the gypsy moth caterpillar and disrupt its mating habits, so then it would not breed, and then of course then it would not spread in the state of Ohio. Unfortunately, they are found in all 88 counties. Some counties are worse than others. We're kind of right at that edge of, you know, we don't have a lot, but we have some.
Mm-hmm. Well, now has the warming of the climate, has that affected them in any way, or do you know anything?
I don't
know
anything currently, but okay. I mean, I imagine it probably has affected them some in a negative way.
Now, we talked off the air that that people that are protective of butterflies are concerned about that. Any problem with that spray on other butterflies or other moths that we want?
Well, back in February when I, at Pleasant Township, I forget the gentleman's name, but he worked for the Ohio Department of Agriculture. He said that it was just for the gypsy moth. It wasn't going to affect other butterfly, moth, honeybees, because he, you know, he always has people concerned about their honeybees. And he said it was supposed to be, you know, safe for people and pets and everything else. So it's very, yeah, it was a really interesting night that night at the Pleasant Township. So,
well, we brought our dog in just because she's 15, 16 years old, and we didn't want to, you know, have her breathe anything bad. And I brought myself in because I'm in dog years. I'm, well, in her, if she looked at my age, she'd say I was dead a long time ago. Anyway, so we brought everybody stayed inside while they went, and that was, they took a long time to buzz our house.
Oh, yeah, because they fly back and forth, and they're, you know, they're...
Do like a grid thing.
Yeah. They were mainly in the downtown Marion, Pleasant, and I think like the edge of Caledonia. That's where they were spraying in Marion County.
Okay, well, I guess I would be considered on the edge of downtown, so...
Yeah.
Okay, well, and then you brought up something else that that sparked a thought in my head, and I've lost it. I do that a lot.
Oh, I do too.
Don't get old. Well, it'll get worse as you get older, believe me. One of the things, since I've forgotten that, I'll remember it. But one of the things I told you off the air that I went through a lot of trivia stuff on wildlife and stuff because I wanted to be at least not as stupid as I really am on the air with you, but. And I happen to be a former assistant athletic director at OU, so I am very friendly with bobcats.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, I had a bobcat stand on my shoulder once.
Oh, really? Wow.
Dick Wittes from Columbus used to actually own the bobcat.
Really?
And that bobcat was the one that eventually went to the Columbus Zoo.
Okay.
And I can't remember the bobcat's name, but anyway... he tore Dick's coat up one day. He had a leather coat on, just ripped the shreds out of it. But and you can't do that anymore. That's why he gave it to the Columbus Zoo. It's against the law for people to have bobcats. Do we have a lot of bobcats in the state of Ohio?
Yeah, their numbers are doing pretty well.
Wow.
They think we have between 400 to 600. Bobcats, and again, that's just an estimate, so it's not a true number, but most of them are in southeastern Ohio, like where you were, down in the Hocking Hills region.
I've heard one at night. I've never seen one.
Yeah, they sound like a lady screaming sound. And I always tell people, if you hear that at night, it could be several things. It'd be a bobcat, a barred owl, or an actual woman screaming. So.
Well, you hope it isn't the woman.
That's right.
Now, owls do scream like that, don't they?
They do. Barred owls have more of that screech like the bobcats.
One of the coolest things that we did, I visit my son out in California, Southern California, probably about every other year. And last year we were there, and they have an owl a box that owls live in.
Okay.
And everybody said, oh, did you hear that? And I didn't hear it. I have bad hearing. And then... all of a sudden, the screech came out, and I heard it.
Yeah,
because it was apparently not happy that we were getting close to the box.
Oh, yeah,
and it had babies.
Mama bird.
She was very angry with us, but quite amazing. We saw her briefly, not very long, but she was fairly big. I was surprised. I don't know what type of owl that would be in Ojai, California, but it was a fairly big owl. And the little babies we never did see because they were in the box. But, anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. I guess just to mention that I know about owls. The bobcat thing.
Yeah.
Now, there are, while I was looking up bobcats, I also, right next to it, were coyotes. And I was shocked that there are coyotes everywhere in North America. Everywhere. I mean, every county, almost every city.
Yes.
They're everywhere. And you never see them.
They're very adaptable. I've seen them in downtown Marion before.
Have you really?
Yep. A couple summers ago, I saw one roaming around Fred's Ice Cream. I think it was probably looking for leftovers.
Yeah.
But they get commonly mistaken with German Shepherds because they kind of have that same coloration.
They're very skinny German Shepherds.
German Shepherd. But a cool way to know difference between a coyote and dogs if they're running, Coyotes run with their tails down, and dogs run with their tails up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not my dog.
Not your
dog. She's 16, and she's getting old, and it's hard for her to keep her tail up anymore.
Oh, okay.
And as a matter of fact, the only reason why I know that is my wife keeps saying, I think she has to go poop. And no, she just runs with her tail down. She kind of lopes around.
Okay.
Anyway, not that my listeners care a twig about that. Anyway, there was bats. Bats, along with owls. I have a friend who has a bat house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And why would you want to have a bat house? What good do bats do?
So bats are wonderful to have. They help control the insect population. So you have mosquitoes in your yard?
Yes, we do.
All right. Well,
this year than past.
Yeah, and that happens.
Yeah.
But instead of putting insecticides or pesticides in your property, have a bat house. That's a great natural way. It's cheap. It's free. You just install the box.
Yeah.
And the bats do the rest.
Yeah. Now, you're going to call me a liar. I know you are.
Uh-oh.
Bats do hit people in the head occasionally. And I'm going to tell you why I know this.
Did you get hit by one?
Yeah. I used to race sailboats, and we raced the Chicago to Mackinac race. And there are like 280 boats, something like that, in the race. So there are a lot of people up in Mackinac when you get there.
Okay.
And we were out walking down the main street where all the bars and all the fudge places are.
Yeah.
And I had what we called land legs. I was struggling to keep straight. I had not been drinking. I just was struggling to keep straight.
Yeah.
And this bat was flying underneath, as bats quite often do, flying underneath the awnings.
Oh, okay.
But they always miss you.
Yeah.
Well, I must have zigged when it zigged, because
kind
of lost a little balance, and it kind of grazed off the top of my hair.
Okay.
It didn't hit me. It just sort of grazed my hair. And that's bad in my case. With as little amount of hair as I have, I try to have each one in the right place. And that bat messed my hair up. How do they know where you are?
So they do echolocation.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's basically sonar. So they make those loud clicking sounds or squeaking sounds. And so what that is they're producing a sound wave, and it'll hit, rather it's you, an insect, a wall, a car, and it'll come back. And then they're able to interpret that, and they'll able to say, what's the size? What's the dimension? Is it close? Is it far? Is it up high? Is it up low? Yeah, is it moving, not moving? So, I mean, echolocation has a really, really unique ability.
They can get really close to you before they move, too.
Oh, yeah, they can.
So it must be very precise echolocation.
They are. And that, we have two species of birds in the world that use echolocation, the oil bird and the cave swallow.
I've never heard of the
oil they're only
bird.
Found in South America.
Oh, okay.
But their echolocation is not as well as bats. And then, of course, you know, there's dolphins. They use echolocation. So we do have quite a few.
A lot of seagoing mammals use that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think whales use it to some degree. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, crazy. We only have about a minute here before our break, but I'm trying to think of something quick. Oh, I know what it was. Fireflies. Are they more or less this year?
As of right now, I'm seeing a little bit more of an abundance.
Uh-huh, I thought so, too. Now, I was afraid that flyover with the chemicals coming down was going to kill them, but I've noticed there was no difference between 2 days ago and now, so
okay,
apparently it hasn't killed them. What causes them to light up?
It's called bioluminescence.
So
it's basically a
chemical?
Yeah, a chemical reaction inside their abdomen. And what's cool is they're able to produce enough heat to create that light without burning their bodies.
Huh, that's interesting. That would be...
Versus, when you turn on a light switch, that creates a lot of heat. And then,
excuse my indelicacy here, but is it a mating thing?
Yes, it's a form of communication for mating. Yeah.
So when you say, that firefly is hot, you may mean it more than one way.
Yes, and pay attention on how their fly patterns, because some will make like a J or a W. They're different species.
Oh, okay.
And then there's one firefly species that mimics other fireflies, and they attract the males. What's a hungry female, and she eats them.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got about 10 seconds left, so I'm not going to go on to my next question. But we're talking with James Anderson, the naturalist for the Marion County
Charlie,
Park District.
Do you remember when Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came to visit us?
Yes, I do. All three times. What a great time we had.
Yes, riding in the popcorn parade twice with him was great.
He made more speedy deliveries that day than the post office does all year.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back, and since I know which microphone James Anderson is on, I just pumped it back up. James Anderson, he's our naturalist here in Marion County, for the county, and do you have a staff?
No, it was just me.
It is. You do all the work out there in the tall grass trail and all the other parks in the area.
Well, I'll admit, I have a wonderful volunteer system.
Yeah, I've seen
like
that.
Dan Sheridan and Janine Williams, Dave Little, Diane Watson, and Kathy Seckel. They're our park board members. And then we have countless of other volunteers. So we're always needing volunteers for different projects and programs.
Diane Watson must be a busy girl. She's also, they're just opening the library back up.
Yes,
and she works there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she is a busy woman.
Yeah, all right. Well, what is going on out at the Tallgrass Trail right now? The new stuff.
The new stuff.
Yeah.
I guess...
Snakes?
The snake, yeah, always snakes.
Always snakes.
We just opened up the playground a couple weeks ago. Because we closed that down in March, and Mike DeWine uplifted for playgrounds.
Is that right by the main house?
Yes, yeah,
okay,
right
yeah,
there at the
yeah,
trailhead.
Yeah. Trailhead, I'm sorry.
No, oh, you're fine. You're fine. So you can bring your little ones and enjoy the playground. The water fountain is still currently closed because we're still working with the health department.
Sure.
And as of right now, still no programs because we're trying to keep everybody safe and
sure,
social distancing and all that good jazz. But, I mean, you're still allowed to hike and bike and canoe, fish, and kayak. So those recreation opportunities are still open to the public.
Did you get more people last Saturday on free Saturday? On free
oh,
fish?
Yeah. I heard, yeah. I wasn't there. I was actually fishing in other spots, but I had a friend who sent a picture and said, oh, there was a lot of people out on the lake.
I want to take credit for that because I announced it on my show last week.
Yeah. And it was nice because ODNR, they used to always do the first weekend of May. I mean, for the longest time that I could remember. And then this year they decided to change it to the Father's Day weekend, which I thought was appropriate.
Great idea. Yeah.
I hope they continue that.
Yeah, so. I do too. It was a great idea. I was going to head out that way. And then things happen.
Yeah.
And we didn't head out that way. My wife and I walked the trail occasionally.
Okay.
And we were going to do it that day. And then things didn't work out, so because I thought you'd have a pretty good free fishing. I mean, what does a fishing license cost now?
Let's see. I think for a year, yeah, it's $25. And what's nice they did now differently is so if I bought it today, my fishing license is good for the next year until the day I bought it. In the past,
yeah,
if I bought it today, then it would only be good until February.
Yeah, because you lost. Yeah.
And then I think there's a 3-year license you can get for $45-$50, somewhere in that range. And then of course there's still the daytime or the day pass, which I think is like $15.
Oh.
So I know it sounds like a lot of money, but trust me, it's worth than getting a ticket, which is like $200.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I remember thinking that I would get a day thing. And then I found out that it was $15 or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
And getting the season thing was only $10 more. I mean,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
So yeah. I didn't understand why people got the day thing. I have, my wife and I, 3 years ago, decided that we were going to go visit, 4 years ago, decided we were going to go visit some national parks.
Okay.
And this was... Yeah, it was back in the Obama era. I'm not trying to be political here. It's that's how I remember that it was before the current president, I think, did away with this. But they had a pass that we paid $80 for the two of us.
Okay.
And that lasts forever.
Really?
We can go to any national park for free.
Oh,
forever.
Wow.
Because we are old folks.
Okay.
We went to three that year.
Did you?
And really enjoyed it. And national parks aren't terribly expensive to go to.
No.
$20-25, maybe even less in some of the lesser known places. Boy, it sure made a difference. We would have ended up spending at least $100, maybe more. I'm not even sure it was $80. It might have been only $50. But anyway, we love that, my wife and I. Now, do you ever get involved with the state parks around the area?
Mount Gilead State Park.
Yeah.
I've partnered with them.
Yeah. Now, we also go to the state parks, and if you happen to be a member of the old folks, have the old folks card, the Golden Buckeye card.
Oh, yeah.
If you have that, camping is half price.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And I think you can get into anything free, but camping is half price. So that makes my camping go from $28 down to $14.
Awesome.
And that's really wonderful. Except for you told me last time we were talking, they won't let you use the bathrooms and stuff. And I called ahead thinking maybe that had been let up. It hasn't been.
It hasn't. Okay.
No, well, at least it hadn't been a couple of weeks ago. So
okay.
Maybe it has now. But
you know, while you're talking about state parks, the state of Ohio made a passport with all the state parks.
Cool.
And you have to order it online. But if you're really like want to explore all the Ohio state parks, and then I don't know if they give you a stamp or if there's stamps at the other parks. That part I don't understand yet. But yeah, you can stamp off all the parks you've been to. So.
And what do you do with that little booklet you have all those stamps in?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a contest or a competition, or it might just be just for fun.
Yeah, well, we've gone to, I would say, about six, maybe eight.
Okay.
There are 60-some, aren't there?
75.
75.
Yep.
Wow. The closest one has to be Delaware?
Delaware or Mount Gilead. I mean, depending on where you are in
course.
The county.
Yeah.
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 If you're southern, yeah. If you're southern Marion County, would be Delaware. And if you're eastern Marion County, would be Mount Gilead.
Yeah. Both fairly close. Yeah. And we go to, I don't think Mount Gilead has camping.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
They
okay,
do.
We'll have to try
them. They're probably one of the smaller end of the state parks.
Okay. Well, we'll have to try that. We haven't done that
And it's
yet.
Actually kind of funny. Right across, they're just building a new KOA.
Oh.
Yeah, right across from the state park. So
why would they do? Well, maybe the state park's campground is not fulfilling all the needs.
So, but one of our park board members, David Little, he goes and parks or camps there at Mount Gilead quite often.
Cool.
So,
yeah, we'll have to try that.
It's nice. It's got some nice hiking trails and before everything, they had a lot of community breakfasts and they had events and all that. But I know with everything going on, they've kind of postponed that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Now, have you been given any assurances of when those postponements are going to be let up, or is it kind of vague right now?
It's kind of, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is the Tall Grass Trail is open.
Yes.
And
yes,
you
is.
Can walk along that. Now, I assume that people, do they wear masks while they're walking along that?
I've had some people, yes, but I think with these hotter temperatures,
yeah.
No, I don't. So.
Well, you don't get really very close to people.
No.
It is kind of a culture, though, as you're walking one way and somebody passes you on the other side of the of the path, you tend to spread apart a little bit more than normal.
Yeah.
But you always say hi.
Yeah, that's right.
There are very few people that ignore you when you pass them.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of like if you're a motorcycle rider and you pass a motorcycle going the other different, quite often they wave at each other. Well,
yeah.
People are like that at the Tall Grass Trail. It's a very
friendly
place. Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to get to. You might point out where it is how you get out there.
So for the trailhead, it starts off of Holla Road, right around the corner of Whirlpool by the windmills, and it currently ends at the Harding County line, so it's 12.4 miles. But we do have other parking spots along the trail, so you don't always have to park at the trailhead. We have the lake parking lot off of Her Road.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yep, and then we have State Route 203. It's the wildlife area, but they allow, partner with them. But
that's about 8 miles out? Is that about
No,
right?
That's about 2 miles.
Oh, okay.
2 miles out. Then we have Epsyville Baptist Church. They agree that you can park there. It's only a quarter mile to the trail. Cool. Just don't park on Sundays or Wednesdays because it's a very small parking lot.
Yeah.
And that again, that's out by Hickory Grove Campground, Epsyville region. And then we have out into Cliff, which is by the 8 mile marker, and that's where our other Port-a-John restroom is.
That's why I knew 8 miles, because it's where the Port-a-John is.
And those are our current parking spots along the trail.
Now, if you get all the way to the end of the trail, right before you go over into the other county, is there a parking place there if somebody wants to come and pick you up? Or
no, I mean you can park off at Clark Road, but really no.
It's by Clark Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There's that one, and then where the tunnel is, that's Marion Harding County Road / line. So.
Okay, all right.
That's always fun about Marion County. You always know where your borders are because the roads are always hyphenated by.
Yes.
You know, there's Marion Wyandotte, Marion Harding, Marion Morrow. So
the problem with that is if you have to address a letter to one of those places, it takes 45 minutes to address the letter.
That it does.
Excuse me. All right. Well, there was another question that I had when I was looking up my trivia questions.
Okay.
This isn't, and I'm really not going to give you any of the trivia questions. What I used it for was to alert me to things I should talk about.
Okay. Start conversations.
Yes. And I think we've talked about this, about black bear in Ohio. Are there any in Marion County or up in this area?
There not been any documentation. Now, there was a couple years ago out by LaRue area, there was a person who took a wildlife track of a supposedly a bear, but it was really strange because the front paw looked like a dog, but the back paw looked like a bear. And it was really, really strange. Of course, they sent it to me first. And then I'm like, boy, I said, this is really stumping me. Because like I said, it looks two different tracks, you know, that don't match or anything.
Yeah.
So they sent it to the Fish and Wildlife. So if you look on a map, they'll say potential sighting. You'll see a one little dot in Marion County out by LaRue. But no official documentation.
Huh.
But most of the bears are in northeastern or southeastern Ohio. Most of them are in Ashtabula County because they're crossing over from Pennsylvania.
Now, they must be good swimmers.
They're just
walk across
over.
The bridge. Yeah. That would be a shock, wouldn't it, if you were driving late at night across one of the bridges over from Pennsylvania and there's a bear walking
along. Oh, boy, I wouldn't want to hit one, especially a big male.
Oh, my goodness. You know, what do they weigh, 500-600 pounds?
They can, yeah. Females can weigh about 200-300 pounds.
Wow, so. Yeah. And they're more they're more vegetarian than they are.
Oh yeah, 75% of their diet is plant matter, and then 25% is meat, and even that 25% is mainly insects, carrion, and
little
mice. So yeah, they really don't hunt very well.
Yeah.
White-tailed deer fawns, especially when the fawns are in those stages where they sit and hunker.
Yeah,
that's about as much really hunting that they really do because they can run fast, but they don't have very long endurance.
Oh, okay.
So they have like these little spurts, but then it's like, oh boy, I'm tired.
Like me when I was young, I was a 100-yard dash guy.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on another break, but I often wondered if we had gotten bear up here. Now, what is the most exotic animal that you might see in this area?
Ooh, exotic animal.
And I don't mean coyotes, and they're kind of exotic to me, but are there any like mountain lions or anything like that?
No, there's no official documentation. Of course, there's people who keep them as pets and they either escape or get loose. And then, of course, back in January, we had that one potential sighting at the Marion Morrow County border of a bobcat. So,
oh, okay.
I still haven't learned if it was officially confirmed yet. I don't know if the man got out to the Division of Wildlife.
I imagine there are a lot of near sightings. Sightings that aren't quite you're not quite sure, right?
Yeah.
Because they're so fast and they move. All animals move faster than we can.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So I'm sure there are a lot of people. And also, like I told you about the sighting I had of the bear down in I'm not sure whether it was in I think it was in Athens County, but down there by where you went to school. Yeah. I saw this big woolly rump, and I thought it was a big woolly cow until I went by it, and it was a big woolly black bear.
Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after selling a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We're talking about the old Route 33 down in Athens area, outside of Nelsonville. That's where I saw this bear, black bear. And James says there were other sightings on old 33. Hey, we've got a phone call. Let's see who has the question. Hang on there.
You're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, I was just wondering if Mr. Anderson could say why there are so many hawks out this year.
Yeah.
Oh, good question. Hawks. Well, when it comes to predators, predator numbers always go up and down every year. So last year, there was probably a big abundance of rodents, rabbits, a lot of different prey species. So because of that, mom and dad, or just mom, was able to find enough food to raise all of her chicks. And then that caused a big boom in probably the population. And then that's going to happen probably, you know, in the next couple of years. And then something's going to happen to the rodent or the prey population. And then those sightings will go down. And that happens. Prey and predator populations, they fluctuate.
To our listener, have you noticed less turkey vultures? I have.
I think I saw one yesterday.
Okay.
Oh.
They're ugly.
Well, I'm ugly, and I like me.
Yeah. And another thing I would like to mention, when it storms, people need to pay attention, first of all, to the wildlife. I had a golden retriever that was horrified of storms, and a couple of weeks ago, she died from that.
Oh, that's a shame.
She was 17.
Oh, yeah, she's an old
girl. And another thing that scares the animals is
fireworks.
And that's fireworks.
Yes.
And we're coming up.
Fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just wondered about the hawks. I live across the road from me is like a small woods.
Okay, okay.
And there's so many hawks in there. But, Mr. Anderson, you do a lot of good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well,
okay.
Thank you very much for calling. Yeah,
you that's all right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed the hawk thing. It stands to reason because we also have had fairly mild winters, so maybe the prey has lived longer.
Yes, yeah. And more abundant, and that they're able to find more food, and that prey population explodes, and then the predator numbers explode.
Yeah.
And then, like, the years when we get those, you know, those prehistoric cicadas, the really dark ones that make that really wah, really loud sound. The one that only come out about
every... They're prehistoric?
Well, yeah. Well, they call them that because they only come out every 15, 17 years.
Yeah.
Squirrel numbers, they double when those years happen.
They like those?
Because, they're so full of good fats.
Oh, yeah.
And next thing you know, I mean, you get hundreds and thousands of these cicadas. And then they notice right after that happens, the squirrel numbers double. And then I don't know if hawk numbers, but I know some of the other birds of prey numbers, sometimes they increase a little bit.
Well, I would assume hawks take squirrels.
Oh, yeah. But definitely like owls, some of your red-tailed hawks. Yeah.
Yeah. We do have a lot of hawks. Now that the caller called that in, I have noticed more on the on the wires sitting there weighing them down. Some of them are rather large.
Red-tailed hawks. They can get
how big do they get?
So red-tailed hawks can get about 5 to 6 pounds.
Okay. And so that's big. That's like a big chicken.
Yeah. Big chick. Well, the old name with chicken hawks.
Ah, was that what a chicken hawk was?
Yeah.
I thought it was a cartoon character.
Well, that too. But a lot of the farmers, and even today's farmers, when I talk about birds or what, and they say, oh, I see them chicken hawks around. And down in Kentucky, where I used to work, every snake was a chicken snake. I don't know why. Snake. Yeah, chicken snake. Because they would eat their chickens.
That's weird. I've never heard of a chicken snake. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad because
you got to go to Kentucky.
I'm not a big snake fan anyway, so as I think I've told you. Are there any other type of large four-legged critter in the area? Like we know we have deer.
Yeah.
Are there any like antelope or any other version of deer?
No, deer are the only one in their family in Ohio.
Okay. All right.
Now when you go out west, you got antelope, you got moose. I guess I should take that back. Elk we used to have in Ohio a long, long time ago.
Really?
And, I mean, those guys can get up to thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
They believe by 1864 they were kicked out of the state of Ohio because we overhunted them.
Yes.
Yeah, extirpated.
That was a nice way of saying we shot them to death. Okay.
But elk, they actually in 2009 started to, not in big numbers, but in small numbers, were crossing the Ohio River from the Kentucky side into Ohio.
There are elk down in Kentucky?
Okay. Because they were reintroduced in Kentucky and West Virginia, parts of West Virginia. But Kentucky was kind of the same thing, like Ohio. They were very abundant one time. People overhunted them out. And then about the 90s or so, they grabbed the elk from out west, and they introduced them into Kentucky. And then they have been able to reestablish their populations. And the thing is, those guys need big home ranges, and especially with the males. So the younger males get usually kicked out by the older males, and so they keep expanding their range. And then that's why we're probably seeing small leaks into Ohio.
Well, that's interesting because the Ohio River is very wide.
They have
to come across.
They're big, and I mean they're powerful. So
probably can swim.
They could definitely swim that.
I did see a deer swimming in the Ohio River.
I've seen deer, but a lot of times you'll see it in the wintertime when you have really cold winters.
Just walk across
it. Yep.
That's what I would do if I were deer. I'd wait till it froze over. Okay, we're talking with James Anderson. He's our naturalist here in Marion County with our park department, and we always have a good time. This is something that we're carrying on in honor of Charlie. We miss Charlie, and so therefore we're keeping James as our reminder of him. And you guys used to have a great time.
Oh yes, yeah. it was quite fun to be on his show. You never know what we were going to talk about.
Yeah, well, that's Charlie.
That was.
All right, I'm trying to look back through some of my questions here, some of my trivia questions to see if there's anything that you
do you want me to talk about opossums? I brought in opossums today to kind of talk about them.
I'm going to tell our listeners it's a pelt. It is not the whole possum.
Yes, I brought a pelt and a skull.
They're a lot softer looking.
They are, and they are only marsupial in North America and Ohio. A lot of the other marsupials are found in Australia or other parts of the world.
I know what a marsupial is, but you might tell our audience.
So if you're not familiar, marsupials, not all of them, but most of them have a pouch like kangaroo. So yes, an opossum is related to the kangaroo. That's how they carry their babies. But also
they don't hop though.
No, they don't hop. The opossums more waddle.
Yeah.
But what also makes marsupials pretty neat is their young are born very early in the gestation period. These guys are about the size of a lima bean when they're born. And then they'll drop down in mama's pouch. And they'll stay there for about 7-8 weeks. And then they'll come out and they'll stay on top of back for probably 2 or 3 more weeks. And then finally she'll say, hey, get off my back. And then they go out into the blue world all by themselves.
Huh.
But what's pretty cool about marsupials is they can have young inside their bodies, young in the pouch, and the young that are on top of them. So they can raise basically 3 different stages of young simultaneously. So that's what makes marsupials pretty unique animals.
Huh. Yeah.
Also, too, they are the mammal that has the most teeth of any of the North American mammals.
And some of them are really long.
They are, yeah. How many teeth do you think an opossum has? I know this is only the top portion of the skull.
I'm going to guess 30.
It's more than 30.
Oh, wow.
Give me one more number.
Okay, 50.
Yep, you're right. Oh, they have 50 teeth.
Oh, that's like, what, 15 or more teeth than humans have?
Yeah, because we have 32.
Yeah.
Or most people do. But these guys are omnivores, so they'll have sharp teeth in the front and the flat teeth in the back, so they're very adaptable, kind of like coyotes we were talking about earlier. You can find opossums in forest fields. You can even find them in downtown Marion.
Yes.
Of course, getting your trash.
In your sewer.
In your sewer, yep. They're with the raccoons and skunks. They love people food. But one of the big reasons why I always tell people opossums are very important, well, for many reasons, but big thing is they love eating ticks.
Oh, and they love that.
Yes. And they think one opossum can eat roughly about 5,000 ticks in 1 year. And again, that's just one opossum.
Well, a tick isn't much of a mouthful. So.
Well, no, but still, you got to think about it. I mean, if you got several opossums, that really helps control your tick population.
Absolutely.
We know what ticks lead to diseases and other things.
Yeah.
But it's not just in your yard. Sometimes they've had documentation of the possums eating ticks off of deer and other animals. So, yeah, they kind of help serve us. Other wildlife. It's
the
pretty
deer
cool.
Stand still while they eat them.
Yeah, there was a cool video of somebody on a trail camera, and the deer was just sitting still, and this opossum was crawling on the deer.
And
basically grooming and eating the ticks off of it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, now, I told you when we were off the air, we had a dog or some large carnivore attacked one and killed one in our backyard. So I would assume that you really don't want, somehow or other, you want to keep them out of your yard if you have dogs.
Yes, absolutely. And you brought up a good point because these guys are famous for doing their playing dead.
Yeah.
And what it is they, first they'll hiss, they'll growl, they'll do whatever they can to scare the predator or threat away. And then if that threat doesn't back off, then they'll release a chemical in their brain and their heart rate will just slow down. And then kind of like skunks, they do produce a smell. It's a really nasty smell. And if it's a hungry coyote, he'll come up to it and say, oh my, that stinks. I don't want
it's
that
bad.
Meal. Yeah, it's bad. And they're in like a deep coma, and it can range from about 5 minutes to up to an hour.
Huh.
And they come awake, and that's how they've been able to survive here on Earth for many years. And
I'll
it's not just opossums. We actually have a type of snake in Ohio that does that. It's called the hognose snake.
Yes, and I've heard of hognose.
Yeah, and what's cool about those guys is at first they'll be like cobras. They'll inflate their heads, and they'll try to look big and bad, and they'll like, hey, stay away from me. But if you keep pestering them, and then they'll do the same thing. They'll flip over, they'll stick their tongue out, and they'll do this most dramatic death scene that you have ever seen. And I've never seen one in Ohio, but when I worked in Kentucky, we saw them all the time, and I would do that, and then I said, kids, I killed the snake, and I flipped the snake over, and then he flipped back, and I said, oh, he's alive. Oh, it was so fun to mess with kids.
That is kind of interesting. Now, the poor possum that was dispatched in my backyard, I was shocked at how big it was.
It
was as big as my dog.
They can get about 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah, this one was about the high end of that, I would say.
Yeah, the ones that are kept as pets, which you're not legally supposed to do, but the more weight they gain, they actually go cross-eyed.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I wondered why my eyes were starting to cross.
Somebody told me the reason. I'll have to look it up another day. But, yeah, I have met pet opossums. And, yeah, their eyes are crossed, and they're bad things.
Oh, my. All right. Well, we're just about out of time for this hour. You're going to come back for the next hour, correct?
That's right.
All right. So we'll have James back here, and we're going to take about a 15-minute break here. And when we come back, we'll have James Anderson, the naturalist for Marion County
Park District.
Park District. And we will have yours truly, Glenn Coble. And excuse me. And I've got to go blow my nose. But we will be talking about any critters you want to talk about. And you can call in and ask questions like our previous listener. Ask James anything you want to about natural stuff. You'll be a lot smarter than I am, I'm sure. And we'd like you to call 740-383-9944. This is Glenn Coble. We're signing off just for 15 minutes.
WGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
I want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.
That space heater just isn't doing the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater again.
I'm sorry. I just, it's killing me here.
No, let me tell the story about the heat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's get into this right away off the bat. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Patty Worcester has served as Marion Midget Football Treasurer for over 35 years. She is a longtime member of Junior Service Guild and has worked tirelessly for many years to give the children in Marion a Merry Christmas by being part of Christmas Clearinghouse.
When Mother Nature strikes, who do you turn to? The number one trusted weather team in Marion County, the Marion, Ohio Weather Team. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com.
This is the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and I want you to listen to Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. News, celebrities, and you on the toll-free line at 740-383-9944. Don't miss it.
This is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. And check out the website for archived shows, and don't forget to search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content. Speedy delivery.
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hey, Scott, I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website WilliamsGrassCutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com. Offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redman can be heard every Wednesday here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM from 4:10 to 5 p.m. Also streaming live.